Welcome, my brothers and sisters, to the worship here at New Hope Church in Wayne, Michigan. We thank God for each and every one of you for tuning in and listening and watching us virtually from wherever you are. It's time now for you to get up, dress up, fix up, mask up from your waist up, and let's get ready to worship the Lord our God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. Lord, may all who gather here today virtually feel welcome and your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to invite you now to turn in your word and your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning at the story is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. The first through the 42nd verses, I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm going to ask that you read those verses at your leisure. I'm just going to read a smattering of those verses. Starting at verse 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 42, but I'm going to read sporadically through that passage of Scripture, beginning at verse 4. Now he, being Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered in verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," the woman replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you are now with, or the man you now have, is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." I'm going to run down to verse 24. "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Verse 25, the woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Verse 28 goes on to say, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did.'" I want to talk about this morning, this day. I want to talk about keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Hope is a word of optimism, and it defines what we're living for. There's no such thing as beyond repair when you talk about a person. There's no such thing as beyond repair for God. God has a purpose for each of us, and there's a reason for the trials that we all face. Hope is a state of expectation that looks forward to a promising future. Yet multitudes of people have lost their hope. Some feel hopeless about specific areas such as their marriage. Some feel hopeless about their children. Some feel hopeless about their health or their finances or their job. But for others, this sad or pessimistic emotion permeates their entire lives. They exist but have no hopes, have no dreams, or have no goals. This is not the way God intends for us to live. God does not intend for us to live without hope. God created us to live with a purpose, working toward goals with a sense of anticipation for things to come. The story of Jesus and this Samaritan woman found here in the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter, is one that gives hope to those who have lost your hope. Jesus was undeterred by the culture of racial and religious animosity. And his decision as a Jew to go through Samaria resulted in the transformation of a woman who had lost all her hope. From a Jewish perspective, there were three strikes against this woman at the well. First of all, the first strike against this woman is she was a woman. She was a female. And when Jesus' disciples returned, they were surprised to find Jesus talking to a woman. For verse 27 reminds us of that. For a Jewish man to speak to a woman in public was a definite breach of their social customs. Many Jewish men would not even speak to their wives in public. The second strike against this woman at the well was that she was a Samaritan. In Jesus' day, there was bitter hostility between Jews and Samaritans. The woman said to Jesus, "You are a Jew," in verse 9. "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And then the third strike against this woman is that she was immoral. The fact is, Jesus says, you have had five husbands, and the man that you are now with is not your husband, in verse 18. So we are told that she arrived at the well at about the sixth hour. And the sixth hour was considered to be noontime. Women usually came in groups to collect water, or either they came early or they came later in the day to avoid the heat of the sun. But the Samaritan woman, she came alone by herself at noon. Why did she come by herself at noon? Perhaps to prevent public shame that would be caused by most isolated women as she was. Various life circumstances cause people to experience hopelessness. First, she had made wrong choices. And this was the case with the Samaritan woman. She was a woman who made some wrong choices. We all make some wrong choices. She was married five times, and she was currently shacking with a man who was not her husband. And because of this, she has suffered a lot of difficulty. She endured rejection. She had been the object of gossip in her small community. Her situation left her feeling morally dirty and emotionally empty. Secondly, the Samaritan woman repeatedly failed. She searched for love and was probably discouraged because none of her marriages had lasted a long time. Thirdly, she may have felt trapped. Despite her search for security, she remained dissatisfied. The immorality was beginning to take a toll on her life, and she probably thought that no one would ever love her. And then finally, this woman at the well, she was isolated from her community. No one wanted to associate with her for fear of ruining their reputations. You know, there's some people in your life, there's some people in the community, there's some people in your family that you may not want to hang out with, you may not want to associate with, because if you associate with them, then folk will look at you funny. But a personal encounter with Jesus Christ radically changes people's lives. Jesus broke all the established social barriers by starting a conversation with this Samaritan woman. When you talk with folk about the Lord or your church, you're extending an invitation and an opening the door that people need to receive God's grace and enter God's family. You'd be surprised when you talk about Jesus to some folks, how that would allow opportunities to come not only for your life, but to be a blessing to somebody else's life. In order for people to have a better life, in order for people to live better, they must meet and follow people that's on a better path. Jesus said to Thomas in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to God the Father except they come by me. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 7, Hebrews says, remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. Reflect on the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. In other words, you ought to follow somebody that's going down the right road. Today, people are still going to wells seeking something that will satisfy their inner thirst, only to discover that sin is like salt water. It just increases their thirst for more of the wrong things. Those who are living in disobedience, those who are living in indulgence, those who are in worldly pursuits don't realize that God created them for himself. And all of us, no matter what decisions you make in your life, we're all God's beloved children. God loves us no matter what, but your choices can determine your consequences. In Jesus' name, let's not give up our hope for a better future, because Jesus' death on the cross gives us hope for benefits that are out of this world. Jesus gave us hope. If we need information, my hope is that God will send us an educator. If we need technology, my hope is that God will send us a scientist. If we need money, my hope is that God will send us an economist. If we need pleasure, my hope is that God will send us an entertainer. But our greatest need is for forgiveness. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and what? His righteousness. And so hope is the operative word that we're all living for today, especially as we begin the season of Advent. We all ought to have some hope for a better future. We all ought to have a hope for a better 2021, because 2020 certainly has been a disaster and chaotic and tumultuous for many of us. You can give up. You can give up some things. You can give up status. You can give up criticism of other folks. You can give up complaining. You can give up the need for control. You can give up blaming other folks. You can give up your resistance to change. You can give up your excuses, your past. You can give up your attachments. You can give up living your life to please other folks. You can give up fast food. You can give up Facebook. You can give up Twitter. Some folks ought to give up Twitter. You can give up Zoom meetings. You can give up virtual schooling. You can give up sweets. You can give up alcohol. You can give up addiction. You can give up new shoes. You can give up the bubble NBA. You can give up fanless football. You can give up Pepsi. You can give up Issa Rae in Insecure. You can give up Nisa Nash or Desna in Claws. But don't give up on your hope. You can give up your children. You can give up your family. But don't give up on your hope. You can give up your job. You can give up your entertainment. But don't give up on your hope. The Apostle Peter challenges us that even in our suffering, if you follow Jesus, following Jesus pays off. He says in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 8, he says, finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Peter says, love one another. Be compassionate. Be humble. And don't repay evil with evil. And don't repay insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because this is what you were called so that you may inherit a blessing yourself. So this Samaritan woman began that day as a rejected, hopeless woman, but she found hope and restored Jesus. She found hope because Jesus accepted her the way she was. Jesus didn't condemn her, but Jesus loved her unconditionally. And I'm here to tell somebody today that no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past looks like, no matter how many times you've been married, no matter what you've been hooked up on, no matter who you undermine, no matter who you've lied to, Jesus loves you unconditionally, and God wants to have a relationship with you, and you can only have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. As believers, we are called to pass the living water onto thirsty people who don't know where to find it and lead them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, just as Jesus did with this Samaritan woman. That's called living water. That's living water. Salvation from sin's bondage and condemnation. That's what living water does for you. And there are many similarities between water and God's gift of salvation. Water. Water is necessary for life, but so is salvation. Water is a gift from above, but so is salvation. Water refreshes and satisfies, so does salvation. But one big difference, water satisfies you for a short time, but salvation satisfies you permanently, satisfies your soul, satisfies your thirst for your soul. Matter of fact, water through Jesus Christ that he gives, water gives you eternity with God. You just got to know how to change your way of living when you meet Jesus. And the biblical way to change yourself is to substitute good habits for bad ones, as Paul articulates for us in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So if you want to change your life, change your behavior, substitute good habits for bad habits. And Paul says here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, he says, Don't just put off the old person, but put on the new man per his examples. He says, speak truth instead of lies. He says, work and give others instead of stealing. He says, speak good of others instead of speaking evil. He says, speak kindness and forgiveness instead of anger and bitterness. So this Samaritan woman thought Jesus was talking about flowing water. She thought Jesus was talking about the water that she was going to draw with a cup. The water that was running from a river or a stream. But in our scripture lesson, it's simply that of salvation. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, our scripture lesson, the 10th verse, Jesus says, if you knew me, Jesus says, you would have asked, and I would have given you what? Living water. And that's all. When we go to a water, when we go to a well, when we're searching for something, when we're searching for prosperity and success, when we're searching for the desires of our heart, when we're searching what we think the flesh needs, we need to realize that God has something that all of us can use in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, if you knew me, you would have asked, and I would have given you living water. For those who are searching, for those who are insecure, for those who are lonely, for those who are saddened, for those who are bound, for those who are discouraged, if you are indifferent, if you are socially distant, Jesus is here just for the asking. Jesus says, if you had knew me, that's all salvation is. Salvation is asking God to save you and receiving salvation in return. Think about that. Think about that. Heaven itself is yours for the asking. Just ask for it. That's all you got to do. Just ask Jesus with a humble heart to save you. Salvation is yours for the asking. If only they knew who Jesus really was. Only if you knew who Jesus really was. Just think about it. If we look at the folks in the Bible, Judas wouldn't have betrayed him only if Judas had known who Jesus was. The Pharisees wouldn't have blasphemed him and plotted against him only if they knew who Jesus was. The Nazarenes wouldn't have cast him out of their own town only if they'd known who Jesus was. Pilate wouldn't have washed his hands of Jesus. The disciples wouldn't have been so worldly and fretful only had they known who Jesus was. And no matter what you're going through, no matter how your situation is today, no matter what you're confronted with today, if you only know who Jesus is, Jesus has come to save and to save the lost. Matter of fact, the Bible says the well does not need a doctor. He came to seek and to save the lost. We all need Jesus, because at one point in our lives, we all have been lost. But for the grace of God, he's died on the cross for your sins and my sins. So only had you known Jesus, and you can know Jesus for yourself right now. That's what gives us hope. And let me tell you, all of our days are not alike. Not every day is the same day. Not every day is a Sunday. If someone had told me the woman at the well early in the morning what was about to happen, she would not have believed it. She got up and went to the well hoping to draw some water to help keep her and others alive. She didn't know what was about to happen, but God knew. And God used her faithfulness and her obedience to open up a new chapter in her life. And he'll do the same for you and me. Because God is good. He cares for us. Because God is gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. Because God is our guide. He leads us even when we don't realize it. And in every detail of this particular story of the woman at the well, God is indeed at work. And today, God is at work in your life. We may be going through a pandemic. We may be seeking some pleasure from somebody else. We may be experiencing sorrow and grief. We may be sick and ill, but yet God knows exactly what we need, and God is at work trying to give each and every one of us living water. He's trying to give us success. He's trying to give us prosperity. He's trying to give us health. He's trying to give us safety. He's trying to give us a way out, but we just got to be obedient to the word of God. People around here talking about, I don't believe in a virus. You better believe in a virus. People talking about, I don't believe I get sick. You better, you know what? You know better than anybody else. You know better than me, and I'm no better than you. But if God gave us a miracle, if God gave us a miracle of medicine and doctors, we ought to listen to somebody. He stirred up the Samaritan woman to notice Jesus. Notice Jesus, because Jesus is our Savior. And then to shower her with kindness and forgiveness. Jesus saw the woman's dilemma and misery and turned her dilemma of misery into hope. And that's Jesus. That's just what Jesus does. That's how Jesus works. God sees your perilous situation and he gives you hope. We just need to keep hope alive. I have told you, John says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you can have peace. And in this world, you're going to have some trouble. Jesus tells us, we're going to have some trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Listen, life is hard for everybody. Life is hard for you as well as it is for me. But for the believer in hardness and trials and pains of this life that we face, we live from faith, which produces hope. And my Bible tells me that hope never fails. The Bible says in Romans, the fifth chapter, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to each and every one of us. So hope is a thing that says a whole lot to us. And we all got to have some hope. Hope says, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen. Hope says, I don't know what God has in store for me, but I do know the character of God that I serve. I know that God loves me. I know that God has the power, and God has never failed me in the past, and I know God will bring me through this as well. God is faithful, and God will carry you through. God is going to carry you through like he carried Abraham through. He's going to carry you through like he carried Moses through. He's going to carry you through like he carried Paul through. And if he carried them, he'll carry you as well. So we just need to keep hope alive. In other words, keep the faith. Take one more step and persevere. Don't quit. Quitting is not who you are. You are a winner. You need to believe that. You are a succeeder. You need to claim that. You are an overcomer. You are an achiever. You are a conqueror. You are a go-getter. You are a hard worker. You are a survivor. You are a victor. You are somebody who has given everything you need to cross the line and enter into the calling for which God has given you. So don't quit. Keep hope alive. One question I have for you today is, where is God stretching you right now? You may be in a predicament. You may be in a situation that you feel as though you can't get out by yourself. But where is God stretching your faith right now? Where would it be easier for you to doubt God than to believe in God? Keep hope alive. You never know what God is going to do. God can do miraculous things. God can do incredible things. God wants to give you life, and God wants to give you life eternity. God wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you hope. You just got to claim it. And when you claim it, it's all yours. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for being faithful and empowering each and every one of us to live through the trials of our lives. And help us, oh God, to praise you in all situations because we know that we have hope. We have faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We praise you and we love you and we bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, amen. There may be someone here today. Maybe someone that's watching us, viewing us on Facebook, on YouTube, wherever you are, and maybe you've given up. Maybe you've been stunted. Maybe you stopped. Maybe you dropped. Maybe you just throwing your hands up, saying, you know what? I can't deal with this anymore. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You need to come to the well of living water, which is Jesus Christ. Just ask him, Lord, save me right now. And let Jesus turn your life around. Why? Because that's what he died for. He died so that you might have eternal life, that you might have another chance. God is loving you right now. God is blessing you right now. God wants to save you right now. Just ask, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Anybody that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, whoever shall call on his name shall be saved. Call on his name right now, Jesus, and he will save you and turn your life around. God bless you. God loves you. God keep you and keep your hope alive.